And turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture tonight. I think that is very appropriate for this time of the year. I'm sorry, this time that we're facing in the world right now. Ministry in the last days. And I think we would all agree that we are in the last days. We don't know how many days we have left. We could hear the trumpet call any time and we would be caught up in the air, but we're definitely seeing signs that are in the Bible. Tell us about what we should see when we're in these last days. And read the newspapers and listen to the radio and watch the TV and all the news events that are taking place. And you just see these things going together, the way that the European nations are working on getting together to try to what we think looks like a one-world government. And so there's just a lot of things going on that point us in that direction. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is where we want to spend our time, most of our time this evening. And if you're able, if you wouldn't mind standing, please, out of the respect of the Lord's word, while we read this passage here, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word tonight. Lord, I pray that the message you've given me for tonight will be a blessing and encouragement to each and every one here this evening. Lord, I ask you that you would take away from my memory those things you'd rather I did not say, but bring to my memory those things you want me to share tonight. Lord, I need your power. I need your unction to be able to bring this message as it should be presented tonight and preached. Lord, we thank you for all these things, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We as Christians need to be ready to face anything that comes our way while we're here on earth. The world's reaction to Christianity, of course, has changed a lot over the last several years, especially here in the United States, but also we hear about events taking place in other parts of the world that Christians are being crucified, so to speak. They're being murdered. They're being kidnapped. They're having bad things done to them. Here in the United States, we're not allowed to do different things that we could do a few years ago. Prayer is no longer in the schools. The Ten Commandments are being taken off the walls in many public places. Towns are not able to put the nativity set out anymore and have that out for Christmas. And they tried a few years ago to be able to take away the word Christmas out of the celebration at the end of the year, but I don't think they've been as successful as they would like to have been, because many businesses now are going back to Christmas cards and Christmas trees rather than holiday trees and holiday cards. But the world is looking down on Christianity and its Christians. And we have a spiritual battle out there that we face each and every day. As soon as we walk out these doors, we're in the battlefield. We're fighting a battle. We have an evil one who wants very much to destroy us, destroy our testimony, destroy all that we stand for, to take away from the deity and the reverence to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said earlier during the presentation, over in the Philippines, it's a little different over there. There, they freely receive the gospel. We can hand out tracts anywhere, and we're encouraged by their willingness to accept the tracts and accept the message of the gospel. We've handed out tracts in restaurants that when we were there, and the employees will stop what they're doing, and they'll read the tract. And we were in one restaurant once, and we had a tract for the server. And the manager came by and saw that tract laying there, picked it up, and started reading it. And so as she sat down at the table in the back to read the tract, all the employees gathered around her to read over her shoulder. So Holly had a bunch of tracts in her hand, and so she went around and handed the tract to every employee. And even the cooks in the kitchen came to the window wanting to have a tract. It's exciting to go over to a country and have that kind of a response to the gospel. As Americans, or Americanos as they call us over there, they know why we're there. They know what we're there to do, and they expect that from us. Taxi drivers and store merchants and people on the street know that when they see Americanos there, that they're missionaries, more than likely, and they're eager to hear the gospel, eager to receive a tract, eager to talk to you about Christianity. But someday that's going to change too, should the Lord tarry. Someday that's going to change over there where we're not going to have the privilege in foreign countries to be able to share the gospel. That's why it's so important that missionaries still be able to go into foreign lands and plant churches to spread the word of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard, to be able to see those come to the saving knowledge. As I said, we're in a fierce spiritual battle. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, was talking to Timothy and writing a letter as Timothy was going into the ministry. And Paul took three figures of speech, or three figures to talk to Timothy about, to characters that he wanted Timothy to emulate. First was a soldier, and then there was an athlete or a runner, and thirdly was a husbandman. And so as we look at those three individuals, as Paul wanted Timothy to be like those three individuals, Paul used a lot of that in his writings. He had, in 2 Timothy alone, there are seven figures to illustrate the Christian life. Well, we're going to look at these three. First of all, we want to look at the soldier that is in verse number 4. He says, "No man at war hath entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Chosen him to be a soldier. We should be soldiers. We're in God's army. We should be soldiers for Jesus Christ. And what is there about a soldier that we should try to be like? How should we strive to be a soldier for Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, we think of a soldier when he is called into active duty. He has to leave his present world to go into another world, away from family, away from his comfort zone. He separated himself from the lifestyle he has known for all his life up to that point. He's not going to have his family and friends at close at hand. He's not going to be able to do the things that he could do before. He has separated himself from the world, so to speak. And he's dedicated himself to whatever armed force he's involved in, whether it be the Army or the Navy, the Air Force. He's separated himself. He must give up worldly security and endure rigorous discipline. And that's what a soldier of Jesus Christ needs to do. We need to give up worldly security. Worldly security. I think we're all guilty of having worldly security. And we need to separate ourselves from that and dedicate ourselves to a discipline of sharing the gospel, of being a soldier for Jesus Christ. The second thing a soldier will do once he has left his family and has made it to his boot camp, he's going to train. He's going to get involved in some training activities, hard training activities for several weeks. He's going to be doing things that he may not want to do, but he's going to do them. He's going to train, and he's training to get ready for the battle that he may have to face. He trains for combat. He trains for the enemy that's out there that he's going to have to face. He trains mentally and physically. He studies to know the truth. He studies to know the lies of the enemy. He studies so that he can recognize when the enemy is telling lies and doing things that would be harmful to him or the people he's trying to protect. He needs to recognize the truth. He next needs to recognize the different tactics the enemy is going to use in fighting this battle. We need to do the same thing. We need to know the truth. We need to study our manual. We need to spend time in here reading and studying, memorizing God's word so we know the truth. So that when we're out there in the world and we hear someone that's out there preaching or talking about a gospel, that we can recognize when it's a false gospel, that it's not the true gospel. We can recognize when someone's out there trying to lead us away from Jesus Christ and the right gospel. We need to study, and we need to be ready to do that. We need to know what the Bible says, and we need to have that in our minds when we're out there on the battlefield. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 32, you don't have to turn there, but there is a verse there that says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." Remember the former days after you were illuminated, after you heard the truth. Remember those days. Remember the truth that you heard about. When we were in the Philippines last time, we were just getting ready to come home, and there was a couple days there, and so one of the couples in the church asked if we would like to go out and have lunch with them before we left for the States, and we said, sure. You know, we're Baptists, we eat. We're glad to go out and eat around and fellowship around the table. And so we met them for lunch. And while we were having a lunch, they said, I wonder if you could do us a favor before you head back home. And we said, sure, we will if we could. And the husband said that we have a niece who is staying with us. She's been living with us for a few months, and she's going to be leaving just a few days after you leave. And we've been witnessing to her ever since she's been here. She's been here about 6 or 8 weeks, and we've been witnessing to her, but we don't seem to be able to get her to understand that she needs a Savior. She has a Catholic background, and she's just not understanding that's how important it is that she become saved. Well, I'm wondering if maybe you would talk to her, maybe someone different talking to her, maybe that would be a way that she would understand. So we said, sure, bring her over to the church. And we'll be glad to talk to her. So the next day they brought her over, and so we went into the office, and Holly and I met with her and talked with her for a little bit. One of the things that we like to do when we are wanting to share the gospel, we always ask someone, what would you do if you were standing before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to him? And this young lady was about 26 years old. She said, I'd say thank you, first of all. And I said, that would be good. But I said, what would be the reason do you think God would let you into his heaven? Why would he let you into heaven when he may not let someone else into heaven? She said, I think that if he looked at my life and weighed the good and the bad, he would see that my good certainly outweighs the bad. I've never done anything really to harm anybody. Yes, I made some mistakes, but for the most part, I've been a good person. So I think overall, he would see that I was a good person. He let me in. I said, do you realize that God cannot let sin into heaven? We have a just and holy God, and he will not let sin into heaven. I said, all we have to do is commit one sin, and you know, we're a sinner. She said, yeah, I know that. I said, let's think of it this way. I said, suppose Tomorrow you were to borrow your aunt and uncle's automobile and you were to drive to the mall here in Baguio. And you want to do some last-minute shopping before you left the Philippines. And so I said, as you were driving along and you were concentrating on the things that you wanted to get, there's just a couple items that you really, truly wanted to get because you had seen them before in the store and you wanted to take those with you. So I said, you were really concentrating on what you were going to do in the time that you had. And I said, as you were driving along, you have been a model driver all the time you've been here. You've driven around. You have not disobeyed any stoplights or stop signs. You have not been on the streets when you were not supposed to be on the streets, when it was your day for that car not to be on the streets. You stayed off the streets, so you have not broken any laws. But I said, in this particular day, you were so concentrating on what you were going to do at the mall that you went right through a stop sign. Didn't even stop for it. Didn't even slow down. And all of a sudden, as you got into the intersection, after missing that stop sign, you looked on the other side of the street, and there stood a policeman. Of all the luck, a policeman standing there. And so I said to that policeman, he looks at you and motions for you to go over to the curb, stop. So you go over there, and he comes over to the car, and he says, young lady, do you know what you've done? And she says, yes, officer, I'm sorry. I ran the stop sign. I was thinking about what I was going to do. I'm only here for another day or two, and I'm doing my last-minute shopping, and I just didn't see it. She says, surely, you know, you can let me go. She says, I've been here for several weeks, and I've not committed any crimes. I've not broken any traffic laws. I've done everything I was supposed to do. And all the time I've been here, I have not done one thing wrong. Surely you can take all my good driving, compare it to this one time when I ran the stop sign and not give me a ticket. I said, do you think that policeman's going to let you off and not give you a ticket for running that stop sign? She said, no, probably not. I said, well, neither will God let you into heaven if you've broken this one of his laws. She said, what must I do to be saved? Sometimes you forget the gospel that you've heard before. And you may have recited and memorized some verses, but you don't always remember those verses. Remember that God is just and holy God. Another young lady was there, and she was a baby Christian. And she got involved in Jehovah's Witnesses over there. She didn't have enough knowledge stored up in her memory to be able to recognize the false teaching. And it wasn't long, and she became a part of the Jehovah's Witnesses. A friend of hers wanted Holly and I to speak to her before she got to that point, but as soon as they found out that her friend wanted her to talk with a Baptist preacher and his wife, they made sure she was too busy to come and get away. We need to remember what the Bible says. Another thing about a soldier, too, that we need to remember is a soldier is always in uniform. Soldier, you always can tell a soldier, even if he happens to be in his civvies, you can recognize a soldier usually by their haircut and their mannerisms, the way they look, the way they walk, the way they talk, and so on. You can recognize someone in the armed forces easily. We need to always be like a soldier, and even people can see us and recognize who we are by how we dress, and how we talk, and how we act. We need to look like a Christian and act like a Christian. We're not called to undercover work. God didn't call us to be undercover. God called us to be out in front and to be able to share the gospel and to be an example, a light shining for the world to see. We need to look and act like a Christian. We need not to be afraid to carry our King James Bible with us when we're out going to church. We need to be like the soldier so that people can recognize what army we're in and who we're fighting for. Verse 5 talks about the athlete. And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, a soldier is training for combat. But an athlete trains for endurance. An athlete trains for endurance. When I was in high school, I went out for track, and I went out for the mile event, which was a mistake probably as I look back at it. But I went out for the mile event, and as we practiced for our track meet, we would run 2 miles so that a mile didn't seem like it was so bad. So we trained for endurance. It doesn't look good if a runner starts out in a race and gets halfway through his event and is wore out and tired and can't continue on. As Christians, we need to be ready for the battle. We need to be ready to go to the end, to keep our eyes on the goal ahead and to strive for that, to stay focused. A runner, when he runs the race, he has to stay focused on the finish line. He has to look at that finish line and keep his eyes on that and run as hard as he can to get to that finish line. He cannot turn to the side to see how close his competitor is or turn around and see how far behind they are, because if he does, he's going to stumble, he's going to fall, he's going to slow down. We need to stay focused. We don't need to see where the enemy is. He's going to be right behind us. Keep our eye on the goal. Also, a runner is going to have a proper diet. He's going to be putting into his body the proper nutrients for him to be successful in his events. We need to also have our proper diet. Come to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights to listen to the pastor and his preaching and teaching for Sunday school, for church. We need to spend time in God's Word when we're home on those other times. We need to memorize Scripture, read Scripture. We need to have the proper diet if we are going to go out and fight the battle that's before us. And also, another thing about the runner, he has to obey the rules. He cannot wander from lane to lane as he's running. He has to stay in his lane. He has to stay where he's supposed to be. And he cannot start before the rest of them start. He has to start when the gun goes off. He has to obey all the rules if he is going to have any opportunity at all to win the prize. Because if he doesn't obey the rules of the race or the event, he's not going to be successful. God tells us we must obey his commandments. Even though we're out there fighting the battle against the enemy, we have to obey God's commandments. In order to be successful, we have to do what God would have us to do. And if we train like an athlete and act like an athlete, we'll finish strong. We'll stay focused on our service to the Lord. And we'll keep a proper diet of God's Word, and we will be obeying God's laws and commandments. And finally is the farmer, verse number 6. The husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. I like to talk about the farmers. I had a lot of farming experiences as I was growing up. And I think the farmer has to be probably the most trusting and the most faithful person there is to have a job or a career. I mean, after all, the farmer, yes, you have to have a lot of knowledge nowadays to be able to farm. You have to know when to plant a seed and when to put on the fertilizer and the pesticides and herbicides. You need to know what kind of seed and this, that, and the other thing. It's not just easy to do, just put the seed in the ground and wait. But basically, that's what the farmer does. He gets the ground ready, and then he plants the seed. And after that, it's up to God to take care of having that plant grow. Farmer reminds me of soul winning. We have to prepare the ground like we did with that young lady. She had to realize her need of a Savior before she was even willing to talk about salvation. We had to prepare the ground. And sometimes a farmer prepares the ground and someone else plants the seed for him. Someone else maybe puts on the fertilizer for him. You see, as servants of Jesus Christ, our job is to do whatever we can do, but we may not go through the whole process. We may go door knocking and we may pound on some doors and talk to people, and we may just simply plant the seed. Or even before that, we may just lay the groundwork. We just may get the ground ready. And someone may come next week or a week, 2 weeks later, knock on the door again, share the gospel. Maybe that time, the seed that was planted, maybe the little water will be added to it. A little sprout will come in there, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe there is something to this Christianity business. There's a little sprout in that seed. And then maybe a month or two later, someone else knocks on the door. And that person had a chance to think about the gospel, and that little sprout now is starting to grow inside. And now there's some anticipation of what it is to live forever in heaven. There's some curiosity of what I need to do to have that gift of eternal life. There's just something in there that's just wanting to find out more. And so another person comes and knocks on the door, and this time the person says, I want to hear more about the gospel, and that person's able to lead that one to Christ. Someone planted the seed, someone made the ground ready, then planted the seed and watered it, and then finally we see the fruit. The farmer has patience, and he has trust in the Lord for how the Lord is going to use his efforts to bring about a crop. And so Paul was telling Timothy, first of all, you need to be a soldier. You need to prepare for battle. Secondly, you need to be like a runner, and you need to train for endurance. You need to be in there for the long haul. You're not going to pastor for a year or two and then decide you're going to go and sell insurance. No, you're going to stay in for the long haul. May not be easy. May be a lot of pain and suffering. May be some bloody knees or whatever. But stay in there for the long haul. And then he needs to be like the farmer. He needs to trust God to bring about the fruit. In verses 11, 12, and 13, and I'll close with this, it says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. I think of a soldier going out to battle and giving his life for what he's fighting for. Christians may go out to battle and give their life for their Savior. But we know that we shall also live with him if we trust him as Lord and Savior. And in verse number 12, we suffer. I think of an athlete that's training for endurance, and the pain it is for training to get ready for the races. But we suffer for him. We will also reign with him. And then in verse 13, if we believe not, he abideth faithful. The farmer, he has to believe. He has to put that seed in the ground, and he has to wait for God to send the rains and the warm weather and keep away the insects and all the different things that will attack his plant. If he farms like they do now and farming several hundred acres or 1,000 acres, he can't possibly go out there and watch every stalk that comes out of the ground, but he can trust God for it. He has to be faithful. We have people every day that are surrendering to the enemy. People who claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior, who have at least gone through the motions or have attended church in some way. But they're not ready for the spiritual battle that's out there. We need to help these people. We need to be someone that they can turn to for answers, to help them with their faith, to show them the difference between the false gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missionaries are going out in the field and they're getting discouraged. They're coming back home. People out there in these lands are dying and going to hell because there's not anyone there to share the gospel, to show them the way to heaven. It's a battlefield out there. We need to do our part to make sure that we can rescue as many out of that pit of hell so that they can see the glories of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together. Lord, I pray that you would take these words that came from you, Lord, and apply them to our hearts, Lord. Apply them to our lives that we may be as Timothy was being trained to be, like a soldier and like a runner and like the farmer, to carry on the ministry that you had called him to be able to share the gospel and to help others to realize the difference between the false gospel and the true gospel, to be in it for the long haul. May we likewise be in it for the long haul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
All right. Thank you, Brother Dassault. Every time I hear a sermon,